أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيى. صدق الله العظيم. This surah is called Suratul A'la, which is one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be Al-A'la. Driven from the word Ulu, high, Al-A'la means the highest. The main theme and the message of the surah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the human being how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, perfected him, gave him everything that he needs in this life. But the purpose of all of this is that this human being should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because everything of this life is going to finish, and even the human body will be destroyed one day and will become dust again. The only thing that will be left is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the human being back to life, where this human being will have the eternal life in the akhirah. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out some very important things that normally take the people away from what they are supposed to do, and something that is very misleading as we hear it in the end of the surah. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. That is the worldly life. Inshallah, we'll talk in detail about this, all of these ayahs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of the surah says, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Glorify the name of your Lord. Normally, we may say to each other, even when we say that glorify, we will say glorify Allah. And Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, we say we are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the highest. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to glorify even His name, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great that glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be something too great for us. We need to glorify the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say سَبِّحْ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. He said سَبِّحْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Glorify إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ, the name of your Lord. How to glorify the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In three different ways. Number one, by respecting the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you want me to explain what is respect, really I cannot. There is a saying in Arabic language that means the love will teach you how to love. You don't have to read a book about how to love. The love itself will teach you how to love. We never read a book about how to love people. And here we all of a sudden we find that we start loving people. So when a person has that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and has the respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his mind, that by itself will teach him what is the respect. Then we won't have to read books about respect. But if we read books about respect and we don't have the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our mind, we won't be able to respect. One of the quality of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in mentioned in the ahadith, أَقَلُّهُمْ تَكَلُّفَ, that these people will not pretend doing things that they don't do. They won't be trying to show that, okay, I have a lot of respect for you, and really they don't have that respect. أَقَلُّهُمْ تَكَلُّفَ. Takalluf means intentionally and just pretending doing something that you don't really inside feel like doing it. Putting ourselves into hardship and putting the other people into difficulties also. Normally nowadays, if we look, for example, just an example that came to my mind. A person comes to our home. We prepare 5-6 dishes for those people. And mashallah, we will try to bring as much food as we can, a lot of food, different type of dishes. And this is one of the reasons we find that we invite people occasionally. And especially, the imams have to wait for someone to die or someone to get married. And marriage is still now out because there are so many other things in it, haram things. So we only have to wait for someone to die in the family now. And here we have to remember, the reason for this is because we pretend too much. We show off too much. And inside there isn't that much. So if you have prepared 10 dishes today, you won't invite this person again tomorrow because you need another 10 dishes. And you won't feed this person the leftover from yesterday. Whereas Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, their way of life was very simple. Go to the home and ask the wife, is there any food? Yes. Okay, come on, I can have 2 people to eat with me now today. Before leaving for masjid, he would ask his wife, how much food do we have? We have this much. Okay. He will go to the masjid, find some of his friends, let's go home. Very simple way. That this is what we had for ourselves. MashaAllah, you can join us. This is when the people don't try to show off too much. They don't pretend doing things that they really don't carry in their hearts. If we really have that love for people, that we really want to prepare the 10 dishes for them, it should be so much that if we invite him every day and we won't feel a burden that, okay, if I get him every day to my home, inshallah, I'm going to prepare 10 dishes every day, I don't mind. And it's not hurting our feeling inside that I'm spending too much money now. And here he comes again now. So again, then we have to prepare all of this. So as if we have that feeling, then really we are doing something that inside we are not happy with, and we are forced because of whatever reason to do it, and this is why we ourselves are trying to stay away from these type of situations, that these type of people coming to our home too often. So generally speaking, this was just an example. This is really a rule of other life. That Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in in everything in their life, they were very simple. Let me just mention one more very simple example from their life. Hafsa radiyallahu anha, the daughter of Umar radiyallahu anhu, she became a widow. Her husband passed away. Now, we also, many of us in our community people, go to these, have to face these type of situations. What do we normally do in this situation? Oh, I don't know how she's going to get married. What we have to do? Umar radiallahu anhu, he himself says no. He says, I went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and I asked him, do you want to marry Hafsa? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't reply. I went to Uthman radiallahu anhu, do you want to marry Hafsa? He says, no, I'm not interested at this time. That's fine, alhamdulillah, done. And after some time, he was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told him that I would have married her, but I knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was interested. This is why I didn't say anything, because I did not want to reveal the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the same time, I didn't want to say no to hurt your feeling, because it wasn't that I don't want to marry her. I did not want to reject her, but it was only for that reason. How simple they were, that they would just go up front. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is doing the tawaf, and a young man comes to him and says, Abdullah, you have a daughter, I would like to marry her, are you interested? And this is how simple it was. With us, we make things so difficult, and that increases our problems. So this was one of the very special quality of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Aqalluhum takallufa. And takalluf, as I said, it means that intentionally trying to pretend doing something that we don't inside feel like doing it. So I was mentioning, respect is one of these things. If it comes from the heart, if we have the value of something, if we know the greatness of someone, the respect will come from the heart and we will respect the person. And if we don't know the value of the person, we won't have any respect for that person. Then we can read books about respect and yet we won't be respecting the person. So same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's asking us to glorify His name, as I said, if you ask me how to respect the name of Allah, I won't be able to tell you, because the respect has to come from inside, from the heart. I think I mentioned to you once that I had a friend of mine, and we have, mashallah, a lot of friends who would pick up any book of Quran and a book of Hadith, books with the name of Allah, and even with the Quran, they would put it on the floor. I feel very bad about it. I really feel throughout the time, if I see that, I feel my heart is burning. Because I see the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the ground. The place where we keep our feet, we walk, we step on that place. I don't know how many of you might have gone for weightlifting. If you go there, you know those weights that those people lift? Try to kick it with your foot over there. You'll see, you'll get a punch over there. That don't touch it with your foot. We always pick it with our hands. They feel that, okay, you are disrespecting him. That he always picks it with his hand and now you are kicking it with your foot. Same thing. This is something that we have to see, that the book of Allah, the name of Allah is on the ground. The name that has a lot of respect, and the name of Allah, one of the qualities is Al-A'la. This is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is high. So always has to be kept high. High in every form, in every way, in every shape. So I was telling, there was a friend of mine who used to do that, keep it on the floor, and I would always tell him, you know, this is disrespect. And he would tell me, give me a proof. And you can't prove respect. He wanted a hadith. Nothing other than Quran or hadith. To say that, okay, this is a respect or disrespect. Now you sit with someone, your feet towards his face. And he tells you, you know, this brother, can you just move your feet away? He said, give me a Quran or hadith. You won't do that. You won't be able to do it. So one day, he invited me to his home. And he asked me to sit on the sofa, on the couch. And that was a good chance for me. I intentionally sat on the ground. He said, no, Imran, please, come up. I said, why? He said, oh, you know, this, I kept this place for you. That was a time, a chance that I said to him, you know, now you can understand, and this is a proof, that you feel if I sit down, you are not giving me as much respect as I would get by sitting up. And you keep the Quran down on the ground and you don't feel that you're disrespecting it and you don't want to keep it up? He said, yes, today you proved it to me. So respect is something that will come from inside. And as I said, there are certain things reading books about those subjects will not help. If our children are growing up and we see, okay, now they are getting in teenagers, 15, 16, let me find a good love story and books about love and give them so that they learn how to love. They don't need any of these books. You can lock him up in the prison, and as he comes out from there without reading a single book, he doesn't even know, he's totally infiltrated, doesn't even know how to read A, B or Alif Ba, and you'll see him, he's totally engaged in love. So certain things you don't have to read about, you'll just learn. And that love will teach you how to love by itself. Same thing, respect will teach you by itself how to respect. And if the person does not have the respect, then read as many books as you want about respect, you won't be able to respect. So, three things, how we glorify the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is number one, by respect. But of course, if we cannot, and as I mentioned, if I cannot explain in detail what is respect and give you the complete details of respect, at least there are a few things that we can say about respect. Number one, respecting will mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He has given us such a great name to remember, so we should try always to use that name as much as we can. Always keep in our tongue. Once a sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ نَجَاتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is the success? How to achieve success, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to him, لَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Your tongue should always be engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi was a great muhaddis. I was reading about him. When he used to write his book, and he wrote many books about hadith and explanation of hadith, of course that thing by itself is ibadah. But in between the time when he would rest himself, or when he will be sharpening his pen in between the writings, or he will be filling the ink into the pen, he says, so that I won't be wasting my time. Within that time, I start doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the value of time. That he's writing a hadith. In between the time that he stopped to sharpen his pen, he keeps on doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that this time won't get wasted. So this is one of the ways to respect the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always having the dhikr of Allah on the tongue. Another way, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a great name of us, and we use this tongue for the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we should try to protect our tongue from every other filth. Because if we have the book of Allah, the Quran, we are not going to put any dirt into the book, because it has the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the same way, if we mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this tongue, we should always protect this tongue from getting into the filth, into the najasa of sins, and of all the other evils that the tongue normally gets involved in. The third way, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he finished using the bathroom, and a sahabi was passing by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That sahabi said salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reply to his salam. And right away, he went to a wall that was close to him, a wall of a house. He hid his hands on the wall and he did the tayammum quick. because it will take longer to make wudu. He did the tayammum quickly, and then he replied the salam of that person, and he said to him, apologizing to that person, "The reason I did not reply to your salam at that time because I did not have wudu and I did not want to mention the name of Allah without wudu." But a point that we need to remember, if we would like to go to that high status, then we should be of that status. It's not that I don't want to mention the name of Allah without wudu, and throughout the day the person doesn't have the wudu, therefore he's never going to mention the name of Allah. Now every person passes by you, "Assalamu alaikum," you turn your face away, you don't look at him. Why? You don't have the wudu. We have to remember, this is not the way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when approached that person, and he apologized to that person, and he said, "You know, I didn't have wudu, this is why I didn't reply to salam." It wasn't that he won't reply to salam, and he will just turn away, and okay, if you know, he minds it, that's his fault. So, these are some ways, at least, that will tell us how to remember, how to respect the name of Allah. And it also reminds me of Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi. One day, Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi was walking on the street. He saw a small piece of paper on the ground. When he looked at it, he saw the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that piece of paper. He had 1 dinar on him. He picked that piece of paper, cleaned it, went and bought a very expensive perfume with 1 dinar, whatever money he had in his pocket. Applied the perfume on that piece of paper and went home and put it somewhere high. In the night time, he saw a dream as if the voice is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is saying to him, "Malik, as you have cleaned my name, I will also purify and clean your name in the world. And as you have put my name in a higher place, I will exalt your name also in the world." And there might be millions of people during that time and great people at that time, but still people remember Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi, who originally was a police officer and always engaged in drinking. There were 2 incidents that changed his life. We don't want to go into the detail of someone's life at this time, but this was one of them. So these are some ways of respecting the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, "Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la." Glorify the name of Allah, who is the highest. So as I mentioned, there are 3 ways of glorifying the name of Allah. And one of them I mentioned is by respecting the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second way is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some great attributes. One of the responsibilities of the Muslims towards the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and towards glorifying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that we should always call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those great names and do not use any other name for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot use any made up name that we will make it up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already told us His good names. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah has all the good names. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Call Him with those names, but don't call Him with any other names. So if other people are choosing different names for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot borrow things from other people, from other religions. The third way of glorifying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when we have these great names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep these names only for Allah and don't call other people with these names. We have to remember the difference between the second and the third. Second is, don't make up names for Allah. The third one is, do not use these good names of Allah for other people. And this is something that is unfortunately very widely spread among the Ummah, that we call other people with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had a brother sitting here, we call him Brother Razak. If he was Razak, I would give up everything and just be with him all the time. This is why we go to work for, looking for risk. If he was Razak, that's it. I give up everything here, we go to his home. And we call people Rahim, Brother Rahim. Allah, then, subhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. We go to his home and pray, Brother Rahim is there. And we have been calling him somewhere else. So one of the ways of glorifying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keeping his attributes only for him and not calling other people with those attributes and those names. And might be a point that interesting. Once I was reading the newspaper, and must be a person committed some crime, and there was a report about that person. Sometime that person might have converted to Islam and he changed his name to Abdullah. So the person who was writing this article of the paper, he thought that that person's first name is Abdul and his last name is Allah, and therefore he was writing him, referring to him as Mr. Allah. Mr. Allah did this, Mr. Allah said this. He doesn't know it. So, just like we cannot have Mr. Allah, we cannot have Mr. Rahman and Mr. Rahim, and we cannot have Mr. Razzaq and Mr. Ghafoor. Whether now we use Mr. or Brother is all same. And this is why I mentioned that here we have two different cultures. One is Indo-Pak culture, and the other is Arab culture. The Arab one is better than those Indo-Pak, because Indo-Pak culture, when we have someone's name is Abdul, which means servant of, then Allah, Rahman, Rahim, other than Abdullah, I guess, all the other names, what we do is, we call it Rahim, Razaq, Kareem, which is very bad. And as I said, this is one of the ways of glorifying the name of Allah, not calling other people with those attributes. The Arab culture is still a little better. They would call Abdu. So they will take the second name out, keep the first one. It still is better that at least he's the servant of whoever. But at least he's a servant. We make him write Razak and Rahim and Kareem. So, three ways of glorifying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respecting the name of Allah, not calling Allah with any other names than only the good names that he himself has chosen for himself. And number three, not calling other people with the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One more point about the name of Allah. Although we may call all of these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his names, but his real name is only one, and that is Allah. Allah is his name. And then rest of these are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rahman, Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, and 99 of them. All of these are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His real name is Allah. Although Quran also refers to these attributes as the name of Allah to tell us that this is just like his name, so don't call other people with these names, with these attributes. سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Glorify the name of Allah, of your name, the name of your Lord. Al-A'la, who is the highest, the greatest. And عُلُو is really one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Rabb is one of the attributes of Allah, ulu, being high, is also one of the great attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like human beings to develop those in themselves, although they cannot have it as much as Allah, and of course no comparison, wal'ayyazu billah. But at least Allah would like human beings to have those in them. For example, Rahmah, anything that's driven from Rahmah and Rahman, Rahim. So He likes human beings to have this Rahm. And Wadud is one of the attributes of Allah, which means the loving one. He likes us also to have that love. But there are certain attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that human beings can never have. And ulu is a special attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear. He announces it that I don't want any human being or anything else to try to be al-a'la and to try to get this quality of ulu, of keeping himself higher than others. This attribute of ulu is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that whoever will try to get this attribute of ulu, of giving himself higher, He says, I will always throw him down. Because it's something Allah says is only for me and I don't want it for anyone else.
وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى.
Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning some of His special attributes. الَّذِي خَلَقَ, the one who created. And then فَسَوَّى, He perfected. He created the human being, created everything in this world, and He perfected everything also in this world. If we read Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتْ. If you look at the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created, you won't see any tafawut, which means any fault. Everything is perfect. فَرْجِعَ الْبَصَرِ, Allah says, look again. Look towards the heaven. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورِ, do you see holes over there? Do you see imperfection over there? ثُمَّ ارْجِعَ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ, then again for the third time, turn your eyes towards the heaven and try to find any fault. Your eyes will be tired looking at it, but you won't find a single fault. No fault there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected everything. And sawwa really means to proportion something. He has proportioned everything. Taswiya means has everything equal. You know, when we say 2 plus 2 equals, this equal in Arabic language is called yusawi. Taswiya is driven from the same taswiya. And isawi, taswiya means to keep everything equal. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we created the human being in such a form that everything is proportioned and everything is equal according to what it's supposed to be. This opens up a very wide door of another knowledge to us. Nowadays, people throughout the world like to talk about equal rights. And you know what does it mean by the equal rights? As far as they say, I don't mean what is the real claim that's coming behind what they're saying, but what they are saying is, when they call for mainly women's equal right, which simply means whatever a man does, women should do exactly the same thing. If he works in the factory, she should work in the factory. If he carries all of that burden, she should carry the burden also. Now they are advancing. If they are having their team playing soccer, playing football, they should have their teams also. They should have equal competition. If he's going for weightlifting, she should go for weightlifting also. And subhanAllah, trying to put her at a position where she never belongs to her. And then taking the man and trying to tell him, you should come down a little because we want to put her there, so you should come down. She can't go up that high. We can't put a beard on her face, so you take your beard off. They want the man to take the beard off so that he comes little down, she goes little up. And here, yeah, something, there is something that looks similar now. He tries to make his voice very soft when he talks, and she tries to make her voice a little better so that she can talk like a man. Other than what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the subject in the hadith, I don't want to go into that, those details. But at least here is a point that I was saying, this ayah and this word, fasawwa, khalaqa fasawwa, opens a whole door of knowledge for us. That taswiya and equality does not mean try to put everything and make everything look alike and do everything in a way that everything will be just the same thing. That is not taswiya. That is not equality. Otherwise, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the joints of your fingers like the joints of your knee, so that you will have equally everything properly, because you have equal rights. So your foot, if he has a right, you have a right to have such a big knee in your foot, you should have similar type of joint in your fingers. And the whole body should be the same way. And our nose should be as big as some other parts of the body. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I perfect it. And proportion everything and put everything where it's supposed to. There isn't anyone who can bring a better suggestion now and say, you know, if the nose would have been up on the head, would be a little better. Or it will be back on the behind the head, then will be a little better too. Or one eye in the back, it will make things easier. There is no way we can bring a better suggestion now. This is the best way of creating it. And this is the best form a human can exist in. We don't have time to go in any examples and details of what will be the difficulty that we would face if some of the parts were not at the proper position. But it reminds me when a student asked the teacher, why Allah put the nose up front here and not towards the back? So he said, so that you can put the glasses on it. If it was in the back, you won't be able to put your glasses on your nose. We don't want to go into those wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we all can understand, and really we can very well understand, that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the human beings, there can't be a better way. And this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in the best perfect form, and the perfect way. And accordingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided the human beings also into these two sexes. As we cannot change the shape of a human being, we cannot change these sexes and try to bring one here and the other there. They won't mix, they won't match. There is a reason behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making them different. Otherwise, He would have made everything the same thing. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. I remember once, there was a woman who was very adamant that she always wants to be, you know, Islam, yeah, I like Islam, but Islam should give all the women to equal rights like men. Why can't we go to the first self? Why we have to cover up and all of these things? So I asked her how many children she had. She told me the number of her children. So I said to her, how many of them did you deliver and how many did your husband deliver? And this was enough for her to understand, and really she understood the point. And she said, yeah, I know I can't be a father. If you can't be a father and he cannot be a mother, then subhanAllah, you have to realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us different. If you stay a mother, that's your beauty. To stay a mother, don't try to be a father. And the beauty of the father is that he stays a father, he doesn't try to be a mother. Nowadays, how far should we go now? People are going to have two fathers, one of them will be called father, the other one will be called mother. You know, they have allowed now this type of marriage. men marrying to men, and because they can't have children, so now adoption will be also, they can adopt children and they will be considered their own, and one of them will be called the father and the other woman will be called the mother. SubhanAllah. What is this? How down the human nature is going. How far the human beings are going from the real humanity. Animals are not to that level. We are putting ourselves even down below the animals, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have announced it in Quran al-Kareem. When the person turns away from Allah, then أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ, they become like animals. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ, in fact, they will get worse than animals. Because if human being starts getting good, there is no level, there is no end for it. And this person can keep on going higher and higher. No limit to that person's high status, how high he can go. And if human being is dead going low, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he can go so low that Allah has to call him. Allah tells us, I don't have a name. I don't, Allah says, I don't have a name for that human being who puts himself so low. All I can say about that person is, asfala safilin, worse than the worst thing you can imagine in the life. There is no name. Worse than the worst thing you can imagine in the life. Imagine and think of the worst thing you might have seen and you can see in this life. And human being will be worse than that once he starts going low. When he starts going down and putting himself down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, as far as I'm concerned, which means Allah, he says, I have created you and perfected you. Now it's up to you to keep that level, to keep that status, go higher and get as good as you want, or put yourself down and go to asfal as-safilin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to get into a'la al-liyin and to get ourselves into higher positions of iman and taqwa and in the love of Allah and the practice of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.